Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. Not a whole lot of WWE on the docket, as relatively speaking, the week there was kind of quiet. Obviously, after last week and the sale or merger or whatever you want to call it, that was quite loud. This week, a little more tame, if you will, as we are on the road to WrestleMania Backlash, although it does have a very interesting main event, which we discussed a little bit last week regarding Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar, provided Brock answers the call that Cody threw down last Monday. We presume he will. But I think the big thing to start with here today, Les, has to do with AEW, the lead story in The Observer that apparently, provided nothing falls apart between now and then, and our fingers are crossed on this, CM Punk's return is fairly imminent. Has a lot to do with this new show. I was going to say second, but I guess now would be third or fourth show that Warner Brothers Discovery has bestowed upon the folks at All Elite Wrestling, which is going to be taking place reportedly on Saturdays. Another wrestling show, which I would imagine be higher on the pecking order than Rampage is at this moment. And the idea, according to Dave and other places that have been reporting this, Les, is that Punk would probably be mostly featured on the Saturday show. And the idea really is to split crews and keep everyone who has issues with each other on separate shows where they would only have to commingle if absolutely necessary on pay-per-views. Your thought about splitting shows at this point, the idea of whether or not that's actually ever worked in the past for anybody, and how this whole thing ends up shaking out.
Wow. You're asking a lot of me. You know that.
Well, you know, we've got at least 60, maybe 90 minutes, so we can talk through it.
First of all, to start with, when I said last week, I think I mentioned that I recall when Don Jardine's Destroyer and Wahoo McDaniel went at it. I mean, literally, both of them were bloodied in a small locker room at the TV station in Raleigh years ago. And they had, Sweet Hansen, who those of you don't know, is a huge man. And Sandy Scott, who's no midget himself, finally got in there and separated and broke it up. And a couple weeks later, these guys are working a program, a storyline for those in the modern era. Not that they had fell in love with each other, but they worked with, it's a business. And they could draw, both realized that they could draw money together. So, you can do it this way with four shows, I guess, if you consider Dark in there as well. If the whole thing is, Vic doesn't like Les, so we'll put Les on this show and Vic on that show, and then Jimmy doesn't like Joe and Joe will go on it, and you'll drive yourself nuts. If you're trying to keep all the personal issues and the egos, everyone satisfied and happy. If that's possible, somebody's going to have to come let me know about it. Because in almost 63 years in this business, I've never seen a time when everybody was happy. But yeah, to start with, here's the thing. They've got so many people on this. To me, if I had this fourth show coming up, I'm not sure. But the first thing I would do is take a lot of these kids, and that Dark would be sort of my NXT, if you want to make a comparison. And then the other shows, I would make my, your Wednesday night show has got to be your flagship, I would say. Unless your Saturday show is going to have some of your major players and a different set of major players than your Wednesday show, then they should get equal billing, I would think. And for what little I know, about the details of this, I'm just throwing out an idea. And Rampage is still Friday night. Oh, okay, it's something to watch. Because it's never been a great, great event on Friday night. So, but to book people in accordance to who they like. I started to say maybe that's kind of grade school, but I don't even, they never put me in a class because I just liked everybody in grade school either. But I guess what I'm trying to get point I'm trying to make here is now you put yourself in a difficult situation, because if you separate the elite from punk, then somebody's going to come and say, well, you know, I don't get along with so and so, and you know, on and on and on. So it could start a landslide of, you know, questions that you probably don't have time or don't want to have to deal with. Am I making sense about this at all? Or do you feel as confused as I do?
Well, I think it's very confusing. The size of the roster, the amount of shows, what goes where, who's going to go where. Are we really doing this whole split crew thing, and are we keeping people away from each other? Because don't get me wrong, I think CM Punk is the biggest ratings and possibly revenue attraction they have in the company, no matter where he ends up. But I look at this thing and I think, I mean, the only logical thing is something else that was reported here and in other places over the course of the week, that Punk was looking to come back and work with the Elite. I mean, you'd be crazy not to do that. So is the whole split crew thing, if they're doing that, really the best idea anyway, just from a business perspective?
Sure. Now, if we can jump to WWE for just a moment, because I've been thinking about this all week, and it's a comparison, and it won't make everybody happy. A lot of people on this website won't be happy, but it's a factual comparison, okay? In the course, first of all, I've heard that Roman's had the title too long because this isn't the territory days. Well, guess what? It worked. So what it tells me is that instead of saying, well, this isn't the territory days, it's saying that something done in the territory days is currently working if it's done properly. Okay? But in the course of just the last few months, let's say, they have established Sammy as a strong mid-card babyface. They have this same feud has established KO, or has increased his value as a babyface. He and Sammy together as a team. Okay, by involving Riddle to come make a save, he's got more fire coming back than he would just coming back cold. Okay. Now, looking at the Mysterio feud, when that first started, Dominic, I thought, oh, man, this is, well, you know my feelings. I told you here. Oh, come on. Again, whoever behind the scenes has made it work and working. Dominic now is a strong mid. It was just insane, right? Escobar. Their stay in NXT was not really memorable. Their stay on the main roster hasn't been really memorable. But Escobar gets the rub from Rey because he tags with Rey, and now you've established Escobar as a higher with more drawing power than he had 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago. If you listen to what you've heard, this the crowd's reaction to Sammy and KO, and the heel reaction to Dominic, and the positive reaction to Escobar. Wow. They call it what you want, old school, new school, or no school, I don't care. But they have done more to get a stronger, solid reaction for people who weren't getting that strong, solid reaction a few months ago. So say what you will about WWE and about AEW and about whoever, but WWE's formula seems to be producing stronger talents in a way that the fans are going to respond to them. And it's because they have taken a story and stuck to it and gone forward with it to the, you know, the best of their ability. And this whole bloodline thing is still ongoing. And with, you know, and they've established, well, of course, Cody is established too. And I'm a big McIntyre fan, but the guys I've just talked about all of a sudden are in the right place at the right time to help that company draw better. And it's all because of stuff, of doing stuff that said, we can't do that anymore. Am I making sense?
You are. I think I can find a way to spin this back to AEW that I want to get your take on, because what you're really saying, in essence, is that too much of AEW tries to begin, have a middle and an ending within 2 hours or 2 weeks, as opposed to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, as we've seen with Paul Levesque's approach on the main roster. And so I'm thinking about that and now sort of pondering the possibility of this brand split. One of the things we have been talking about with AEW as one of its issues is so many people and not enough places to put them. And I don't care how many shows you get, you probably still won't have enough places to put everybody. But the idea maybe if the positive side potentially of this split thing is that you have two separate crews, two separate shows, which means less people you're trying to cram onto each show, in theory, leading to more TV time for those who remain, whether it's Wednesday or Saturday, and more time to explore these things so that you don't have to go through something in 2 hours or 2 weeks. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair, I think. And it makes all the sense in the world. If you just look, yes, people and while the Punk's name came up when we started this show today, let's throw it in here. And who else on that roster is currently getting the kind of pops that we've mentioned for Sammy, for Dominic, for Escobar? I mean, these guys, who over there is getting that same kind of reaction from what they're doing? And the answer has to be nobody. Am I right?
Can't argue that.
So, yeah, so it's, you know, when you watch the other company, I mean, in a war of the territories, you saw what the other people were doing. You didn't necessarily copy it, but you took, okay, did they draw with that? Well, maybe we should do something similar at a later date. But again, it's, okay, we hate you. We don't want you to be in business. But that doesn't mean you're not smart enough to do some things right. So maybe we need to take heed of that and utilize those in a little different manner so that it doesn't look, hey, they're copying the other company. But still, you know, there are I know I'm repeating myself over and over and over, and somebody needs to listen, because it's not just me saying these things. But there are things that happened 40, 50 years ago that'll work today, modified a bit. But the thing of it is you've got to stop throwing everything but the kitchen sink at the wall to see what sticks at 100 miles an hour, and take your time to build a foundation to the story that you want to tell.
You know, I look at this potential crew split of AEW, and I think that the opportunity could potentially be there. I mean, I remember back at the time of the original brand split, the draft in WWE, where SmackDown and Raw were intended to be, and for a while, treated as their own separate entities. And the split was really interesting for a variety of ways, one of which I'm going to bring up to, you know, sort of needle some people in a minute. But the other part of it was when they split Raw and SmackDown, the two biggest stars on SmackDown were The Rock, who was on his way out the door, and The Undertaker. And so you had the anchor really in The Undertaker, but a lot of guys who were on their way up, but unproven and untested in WWE specifically, regardless of what their resumes were anyplace else. And what happened was with that separation, Paul Heyman, who was head of creative for SmackDown at the time, was able to craft a show that may not have outdone Raw necessarily in the ratings, but did very well, better than anyone expected when they looked at the two rosters and the way they had been divided, and then got that talent, both young and guys who did not have the big name in WWE per se, and turned them into bona fide superstars that people wanted to see or thought were better, frankly, than the product they were seeing on Monday nights.
I would like to disagree with you, just for a change of pace, but I'm not going to because I can't. You're right. You're absolutely right. And
The needling aspect, let me just bring this up only because why not? I just like to have a little fun. So if it gets anybody hot under the collar, you know where to find me. So the whole idea
with
splitting these two rosters and the thought that the Elite, presumably, and obviously there's a lot of spitballing and a lot of speculation here, so let's just put that out there up front. Everything from the Saturday show to the split crew to who would be on what side. But if Punk is on one and the Elite are on the other because they have not made the peace, but Tony has decided in the best interest of business, which I would agree with, we should just stop being ridiculous and bring the man back. Let's just say that Punk continues to have the kind of influence with Tony that it appeared he had during this initial run. And he gets a chance to, I don't want to say personally pick every single member of the crew that would be on his show, but have a lot of influence over who's there. And then you have the chance to compare and contrast two shows. On Saturday, it's probably going to be a tougher road to draw as well as Dynamite does on Wednesdays. But much like SmackDown back in the day, that doesn't mean that the people who watch this product religiously won't look at Punk's, where there are, you know, perhaps more professional wrestlers, if you will, or folks who focus on the craft of wrestling as opposed to the more high-flying, hard-hitting acrobatic style that may not necessarily be grounded in vintage storytelling. And guys who get more camera time, younger guys who have a chance to develop, much like that original brand split for SmackDown. And what happens if the guys on Wednesday, who may or may not be executives in the company, start hearing from everybody who watches these shows that Saturday's better? Now what?
Whoa. Now we've got to divide, which is already divided, right?
Yeah.
We can't take them any further apart. But yeah, well, that's it. You know, if you're going to divide your brands, you've got to keep a legitimate amount of your top people on both. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to work. It'll end up being almost immediately, like you're saying too, that somebody say, well, it's what we talk about Wednesday and Friday with AEW, right?
Yeah.
Is there anybody going to tell me they think Friday is as good a show as Wednesday?
Not even close. But if you make this split now and Punk is on one and the Elite are on the other, Punk is not going to let this thing get dragged down, regardless of any issues he has or doesn't have with them. Anything he's got something to do with is not something he's going to allow to be seen as secondary.
Exactly. Well, you know, and anybody that is concerned at that level with the business, and you know, of course, you know, at that level, we all have egos, you know, and you want to be the top guy and you want it, but you got to be realistic as well. So you also realize to be the top guy or the top team, you've got to surround yourself with people who are damn near at the same level or, you know, are at the same level to make it work, because you can't start, you can't take a bunch of guys who are green as grass and you're the top one guy or the top team and build a brand. You can, but it's not going to be as strong as a brand that has the more experienced high level guys. So yeah, it's they've got to be careful how they divide this thing. And, you know, here's the thing that I see too. There's seemingly that folks think that FTR, who is obviously now signed to a 4-year deal with AEW, and happy for them if they're happy, and obviously they are, but that, first of all, they talked to CM, and they've said they'd like to work a 6-man with he against the Elite. My hat's off to Dax and Cash for speaking their mind. First of all, let's say this, that this team in many ways to me, now you as a casual fan or as somebody else being around the business may not see it the way I do. These guys come in there to do business every day. They give you the best they've got every night. They are professional. They are the best wrestling tag team in the business today for my money. And they have come across a professional. In that company, Dax went out and did singles job, looked at the light for guys when they were wearing 5 different damn tag team championship belts. If that's being taken care of, I don't want to be taken care of. And yet, here they are. They handled it. They handled it with class and professionalism. And here they are back to sign a four-year deal, which obviously is more most beneficial to their family, less hours on the road probably, and money-wise. So, and that's great too. But my caring for them comes to their honest, public honesty about, hey, we talked to Punk. Punk wants to come back. This is a money match. This six-person match is a money match. And if it's not, those saying that they... we're all crazy if we don't think that's a money match. And for them to speak their mind is the best thing that I've heard in a long time. And that's one of the reasons I'm so high on these guys, because they're not knocking anybody. They're just stating a fact. You with me so far?
I am, sir. Yes.
And do you see my point here? I mean, it's you can't try to make that. Why? How many fans out there would say, damn, if Punk and FTR take on the Elite, I'm buying that pay-per-view, or I'm going to attend that show if it's in my town? I think the entire AEW fan base would jump on it, don't you?
I mean, that's a match they should take to Wembley Stadium, don't you think?
Yes, I certainly do. I certainly do. And because Wembley Stadium is not going to be an easy draw. I mean, they're going to draw there, but that's a big place, if you hadn't noticed. And I just, you know, and it's going to take more than whatever the main event is. It's going to take a solid card. And there is another thing that if I'm going there, what month are they going there?
Don't give me the line. I got to go back and look. I'll give it to you in a second.
Okay. But my point is, between now and then, this is like WWE going to Saudi in a manner of speaking. Right, they're building something for Arabia way before they're ready to get there. And just to have some stories, some angles for the people there to sink their teeth in. And if you're going to Wembley, then you need to be doing the same thing. Not a 2-day like you mentioned earlier. Okay, they're over. They've been doing this for 15 seconds, and now it's a big deal. We're going to make it a big deal. No, it's not. You need to start building some things, some feuds toward that. And, of course, this six-man, whether it ever takes place or not, would be a hell of a centerpiece for that entire show. Because I can be a complete idiot and know that this is money. You don't have to be a great booker or a great manipulator to see it. And the fact that Dax has mentioned it, I applaud that. Because in this day and age, with so much media coverage and so much social media, if you're BSing the public, they're going to figure it out at some point in time, like they do with some of these guys who try to build angles that don't really have angles. Hats off to Dax. Those, and if you look back at their history of speaking publicly, they didn't trash Hunter and WWE when he said we didn't have a great communication deal there with Hunter or whatever. They weren't saying that jackass or that SOB, or they're talking like it's business. Baseball players, football players, basketball players talk about I'm not real happy here right now, but I'm seeing this, about trades and stuff. I know it's business is work, but a little honesty and professionalism like I see with FTR, with Dax and his public comments, I think are tasteful, professional, and it's what people are thinking. Why not say it?
The show at Wembley Stadium is August 27th. It's basically their Labor Day weekend show. Obviously, Labor Day is a few days later than that, September 4th this year. But this will be All In, which is traditionally the Labor Day weekend show, which is why they're having it there in the UK at the end of August. So you still got this Memorial Day weekend pay-per-view coming up. But if you start planning now for something like that and start executing promos, angles, things of that nature after the Memorial Day weekend pay-per-view, there is plenty of time to put together an extremely strong card for that show.
Absolutely. And if you're not doing that and building more than one story to go in there with, then you're making a big mistake, I believe. I truly do. I mean, they're going to draw there simply for the fact it's the first time there.
Sure.
No doubt. Are they going to sell it out? More power to them if they do. I don't know. But I think they need stronger, you know, stronger foundation in terms of how they build their stories between now and then to actually make that happen.
Well, there are a lot of a lot of moving parts that can happen between now and then. We'll see what shakes out, whether or not this Saturday show takes place, whether or not Punk even shows up. I mean, what happens? We do all this speculating and all this article writing and all this podcasting on this and tons of other sites, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody decides, hey, you know what? Let's not do this after all. And then nothing comes of it.
But then I'm going to call CM myself and say, listen, Philip, damn it. We've wasted a lot of time talking about you and your return, and you're not coming back. Damn it. I'm pissed.
Just go say sorry, cash the check, and leave after the show.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hell. Well, you know, if there's nothing, if it can't have some great rumors in this business, then it's not the wrestling business.
But in the territory days, the stories in the locker room that were going around about other wrestlers and other territories, folks presumably not in the territory, let's just keep anybody who might have been in the locker room out of it, was there half as much rumor, innuendo, I heard this guy does that in locker rooms as there is today on podcasts and such?
No, not really. I mean, you know, like for example, when maybe the Alliance is trying to figure who to put the next title on, right? You've heard, well, I know they're, you know, the rumor is they're considering Ted DiBiase, or they're considering Terry, or, you know, Terry, whoever. You'll hear that, or hey, so-and-so is just gave his notice in this territory, and he's going someplace else. But not a lot of this, because, well, social media has created a huge amount of speculation. I mean, they've given you a platform to become an expert at this business when you're not, or at any other business for that matter. And it's not necessarily a good thing. And I don't know. But I think that company, if they work something out with Punk, will benefit. If they can't work it out with, but here's the other thing too. If your executive vice presidents are concerned with this company succeeding because they helped pioneer it and start it, they were part of the foundation, then they're going to make, you know what? If you stop and think about the forefathers of the United States of America, did they have some hardships? Did they have to make some sacrifices? Did they have to do blah, 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 whatever, to make this country grow? I think so. Did they all get along and hug and kiss? And no, I don't think so either. That's why there's more than one party running the government of this country, sadly enough. But, it's about making, you know, you got to, you know, first of all, it's great that you love the business, that you have a passion for the business, that you want to be a big part of the business. And now, you want to support your family. You want to pay your bills. You don't want to show up and work for a couple of hot dogs and and $25. I don't either. So you make concessions, you make sacrifices, and you sometimes bite the bullet and do things that are not necessarily palatable for you, simply because it's what's best for business, as Triple H might say.
Well, this company's already down one EVP with Cody making the move to WWE. What if they were to go down a second? I was surprised to see this week after Conan's interview, where he was operating under the assumption, since they've been talking about bringing Kenny Omega back to AAA, he apparently liked his trips down there and wanted to do some more, and AAA was definitely interested in having Kenny back. Conan was operating under the assumption that Kenny had resigned, since they were talking about doing things in AAA months down the line. But Dave reports this week that Kenny Omega has not signed a new deal, that he's simply working out the string, if you will, much like WWE's contracts in recent years. In AEW, Tony Khan has the right to add any extra time onto your contract that you may have missed during the course of it due to injury. And based on the time Kenny Omega's been away over the course of this deal, it's possible he's under contract until the holidays based on this original deal. But nothing new has apparently been signed, according to Dave's reporting. At this point, I'm not going to say I find that terribly surprising. I think it's his right to have as much gamesmanship and negotiations as possible, since Kenny apparently told CBC News this week that he has not made up his mind about what he wants to do here yet. But, you know, now, obviously, this it's a negotiation. So things happen, and people are going to say things, whether they mean them with their whole hearts or not. On both sides, frankly. But if we move ahead to this, and, you know, we heard all sorts of stories that Omega and Cody weren't necessarily sending each other Christmas cards. I don't know how true that was or wasn't. But at this point, would it surprise you if Kenny Omega were to call Cody and ask whether or not the grass was greener on the other side? And what would that mean for AEW to be down a second EVP 5+ years into the company?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Because, you know, you got to realize here, Cody, I've met Cody, I've maybe spoke to him for 3 minutes a few years ago. So we're not close friends or not personal relationship. There's no personal relationship, really. But, you know, I'm sure, well, you know, you can, part of his promos and talking about his time, you know, he felt good about coming in and helping pioneer AEW. But he also realized that it wasn't going to be, you know, work out for him the way, you know, as he said, he's got his dad's mentality about, you know, basically wrestling. And it's not the same as the other, executive vice presidents. And so, yeah, you know, he made a decision. And has it panned out? You bet your ass it has. In spades, I'd say. Yeah, I agree. Maybe Omega and Cody aren't the tightest of, hey, bud, you know, we hang out all the time. No, okay. But that's not about, this is about, we're talking about your wallets now, your bank account, your how much stock you can buy this year to improve your financial well-being. And where can you get that and why, you know? And, I don't know what's, you know, Omega is more or less right now tied. He's part of the elite. Okay, so those three guys, they're a match set. Maybe he wants to step out a little bit. I don't know, you know. And if he does, he wouldn't be the first wrestler in a team, you know, that was part of a team or a trio in this respect that decided to, you know, break away because it benefited him, his personal beliefs, his personal desires and his wallet. So yeah, it could happen. You know, that's the other thing to think. Well, these guys are AEW. No, they're not. They're also making a living, and you know, part of it is, can we do what we want to do? And obviously, there they are doing exactly as they want to do, as best I can tell. But you know, is there more to this someplace else? Again, let me go back to FTR when they said, okay, we've got a 4-year deal, and at the end, we're going to retire. God bless you guys. You know, you're not going to go out when you're long in the tooth and your belly's dragging the ground and say, I'm making a comeback. You know what? These guys are having a good time. They're putting on good matches with whoever they get a chance to work with. And it seems to me they've got their heads screwed on straight. They're thinking about themselves, their personal health, their family's well-being. And I don't know how you can dislike these guys in any way, shape, or form, even if you don't. I mean, and again, there's a million people probably know them a lot better than I do. But just the way they've handled business and the way they handle their personal appearances, I'm in their fan club if they had one.
What I'm waiting for now is the Halloween episode of Dynamite 4 years from now when both of them come out dressed as Terry Funk and say, remember when we told you we were going to retire?
I know. Never say never, right? It's but now, I want to bring this up. You and I talked about it before we started recording. But we're talking about how Tony does things quickly, right? Like you and I butt heads this week, and next week we're in some kind of match that should end a program that we've been doing for a couple months.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, we're already a Texas death match, which isn't one, or Falls Count Anywhere. We've been fighting all over the building already. It's relatively meaningless. It's got a title, and we're going to probably end up bleeding and beat the hell out of each other and all that sort of stuff. Man, it's not what you need to do with any of this. You don't. Storylines need to come strong and make, again, why is Sammy over so strong when the split finally came with Bloodline? Because they had melted. They made you think it was going to happen. It didn't. Made you think it again, and it didn't. Make it again, giving you that anticipation. And when it finally happened, it happened. It all went the right way. Whether you like the people in WWE, whether you like Vince, whether you like Triple H, or whether you like anything over there, be smart enough to realize what they did, how they did it, and imitate it for sure. Obviously not exactly, you know, don't tell the exact same story, but take the value in what they have done. Don't let your ego get in the way and say, well, we're AEW, but they're still ahead of the game in that respect from you. And of course, part of that, realize, is Triple H and Michael Freebird Hayes, they've got a lot of years on Tony Khan. And it's, I don't know. I hope, and you know this from you and I have been together too long. I hope everybody makes $1 trillion and all the fans love all the wrestling and 60 or 600 other independent guys find steady work and income. But the main thing is to keep some integrity, some integrity in the wrestling business. I think that's extremely important. And I think WWE is showing that the solid longer builds have paid off in bigger dividends for them.
I completely agree. And to that end, I want to ask you, after we talk a little bit about training camps and where to get a hold of you, not only about what we saw on Dynamite this week, but about Bret Hart putting on his glasses and his earring and channeling Les Thatcher and talking about...
Did he get an earring too? Damn, Bret.
It's a good question. I haven't seen... Well, I didn't see the video where he made these comments. I just heard what he said. So we'll find out next time we see Bret on video somewhere. But we'll get into those things here on this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly right after you let everybody know where they get a hold of you and have a Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer run him into the ground on these triple five drills and get better at professional wrestling.
Oh, my God. There you go. You just cost me millions of dollars right there. Nobody wants to mess with
you. Well, Mega Millions is this weekend. You can make good.
I hear you. Anyway, yeah, if you'd be interested in booking me for a one-day seminar or a weekend training camp, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. Be more than happy to get with you, talk about what I do, the cost, and what you can expect. And I promise you it's hands-on completely. And I will bust my hump to make the people that you have involved send them home with tools that will help improve their work and hopefully improve your business as well. Excuse me. And speaking of Hall of Fame, Pro Wrestling Tees, Briscoe Booster T-shirt, which was the first ever on the market in 1972, put out by Jack and Jerry and myself, artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. You can get those at Pro Wrestling Tees. And if you're interested and you happen to be a Les Thatcher guy, you can get I'm a Les Thatcher Guy T-shirt as well. Wrestling from the Heartland, the Lost Developmental Tapes, Volumes 1 and 2, over 6 hours of content. Both are two DVD sets, matches, interviews, and extras. Joe Dombrowski and I do the voiceover. Volume 3 of that should be coming out very shortly. Joe tells me. And anyway, you can get those at joe-dombrowski.com or prowrestlinglibrary.com. And, of course, the big Brian Pillman Show's anthology from the 20th anniversary of the beginning of that series, a 4-DVD set, over 15 hours of content, all four of those great shows from 98, 99, 2000, 2001, matches, interviews, awards, and so many extras. Go to PillmanShows.com or the two addresses I just gave you before, joe-dombrowski.com and prowrestlinglibrary.com. And, yeah. Now, where you want to go?
Dynamite, because I figure Bret Hart's comments and your thoughts on them would be the perfect thing to follow discussion of this week's edition of Dynamite.
My first question on Dynamite is, you know, you told me why it happened as you being the guessing booker of that particular show. But my question was, why would Claudio and Mox want to wrestle the two flunkies for the Elite? And you said, well, that they did it to set up the Elite sneaking in on Mox. But here's, again, common sense. I see why they did it. I just don't know why they did it in that particular way. And the reason is, you got these two guys who are pretty much high up on your pecking order in terms of top guys, Claudio and Moxley, okay? And here are these two guys who missed on people and walk around and get knocked on their ass at least once every week. And basically, they may be wrestle a little bit, but when was the last time you saw them in a ring? And all of a sudden, these two flunkies, and listen, I don't know the guys. I'm just using that as a catchphrase at this point, have challenged Moxley and Claudio to a tag match. Would Claudio and Moxley look and think, what the hell? Why do we want to wrestle them? And one of them is going to say, so they can set up a match for the Elite can jump us from behind. Tell me when I've hit some common sense, because I haven't heard any yet. Have you?
No, I have not.
Thank you. And there's one of them, to me, you know, Jim and I, why are these guys wrestling? I said, Jim, did I miss something? Is there a big storyline where they jump Claudio or John? No. Then why are they doing this? I don't know. I don't either, right? So there is one of the things that we were kind of touching on earlier in the show, but there's got to be how many other ways, how many guys on that roster would know a better way? Is Arn at the show? Is Dean Malenko at the show? Is Jake Roberts at the show? I know Blade is at the show, and I know BJ Whitmer is at the show, and my God, I mean, these are people that I know for, you know, have been educated properly. But this match made no sense except when we saw the result after the match was over. So you got to do better than that, I'm, for me anyway. And on that particular show, Keith Lee and Jericho was not a strong main event. It just, it was a styles clash, or, and I don't mean a finish. I mean, but these two guys, I just didn't see it. I sat there and watched it, and it was over, and Adam Cole came down to walk Keith back, and I'm assuming that puts him and Jericho at odds, so that they're building something there. But again, why was Keith Lee and Jericho why'd they have this match? Can you explain that to me?
Well, I can explain it to you, but it would be much like I explained the Blackpool Combat Club against Cutler and Nakazawa. I can give you the booking reason. It was because Jericho gets a main event win on the show on his way to this match they're building with Adam Cole. And to have the reversal of what we had the other day, where Jericho was looking at Cole stealing the Thunder, yada yada. Cole comes out here at the end of this show to check on some, and you know, to have the exchange of what we had the previous week with the roles reversed. But as far as why it was Keith Lee, your guess is as good as mine. By the way, if they don't have Keith Lee in a Santa Claus outfit throughout November and December, they're missing the boat.
You're not going to tell him that standing close up, are you?
No, as far away as possible. But, I mean, if we're going to have some fun with it, then let's, if we're going to go with the gray, Keith, let's just go with it.
Yeah. But, no, I, you know, you're right, though. There are so many ways that this could have been done. Well, you throw Jericho out there with some kid, some mouthy young kid, say, that says something, and I'm, you know, and Jericho starts eating his lunch. I mean, and just over, you know, has beat him, it should be pinning him, and he's pulling him up and just wanting us. And then Cole comes out, and then they set up a deal. But first of all, again, this was not a strong main event match. It just, it wasn't. Now, you have, I don't know if you have numbers, or I know the ratings were down like about 1.3% from last week.
Something
the
like
numbers
that
were down, but I mean, in that particular match, was there a great amount of people wanting to see it?
Well, I have the Observer in front of me here. Let me scroll through and see if I can find numbers for it. I don't know if he actually has them here. I see Rampage from last week. Hold on, let me scroll here and see whether or not I can tell you exactly how that did. I am not seeing it at the moment, but please, by all means, continue. Oh, here it is. Never mind. I got it. Let's see. We started the night at 919,000 for Darby and Swerve. We went to 901 for the segment with that featured the finish plus MJF. Then Sting joins, which basically held the number. The international title match between Cassidy and Matthews, 854. Up for the 15 minutes that included the end of that match, Christian and Luchasaurus in his new outfit, and the whole thing that ended with Kenny Omega's home vignette from the house, where they wanted to make you, which I did like, that they wanted to make you think they weren't there, and the return of Jeff Hardy did 896. The actual match, which the Elite ran in on the end, did 886. The women did 780, and Jericho and Lee in the main event, 779.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't see that main event. No reflection on Chris or Keith, but it just, why? You know, and here's the other thing. With Jeff Hardy, I would have announced his return. You probably would have helped your numbers.
Probably.
Without, I'd say almost without fail, it would help your numbers. Because, whatever. But, yeah, it's these things that you need to take into consideration, and for whatever. Well, I can say this: if Tony Khan is trying to do this all, I know he has people he talks to and so forth and so on, but he needs. I don't like booking committees. I've never thought that was the greatest thing in the world, but he needs to have a couple veterans to sit down, never mind, and I'm not talking about anybody that's working in the ring, but some, you know, a couple, Arn, Dean, sit down with these guys, be realize how many great storylines they have been in over their careers, and how much money they've drawn, and how, you know, this and that, and the other thing. So, yeah, utilize the tools that you have available to you that already are a part of your family, part of your company.
Can I just say something about Jeff Hardy real quick? I should have said,
you say anything you want.
Well, thank you. I should have said this earlier when we were talking about CM Punk. It's really where it belongs. I got to just get this off my chest. I do not begrudge Jeff Hardy a thing. I am glad he is back. I hope he is well. I was saying I hope he is well 20 years ago, and I meant it then. I mean it today. And yes, there is a butt coming, and it has nothing to do with why Jeff Hardy is still employed by this company. Good for him. I'm not mad at that, and he does have value, and you're right. They probably should have mentioned that he would be there this week. It would have helped the segment, would have helped the show. Explain to me how Jeff Hardy, a convicted felon who has, even though it was a very short period of time, been to jail, and just not even 90 days ago, pleaded no contest to other charges, including a felony, if I'm not mistaken, which essentially means you're not admitting guilt, but you are accepting the punishment for the charges that you're not admitting guilt to, is welcome back in this company without a second thought. But CM Punk, no, can't do that. How exactly? Explain that to me.
Because Jeff has no heat, the executive vice president.
This is killing me.
You asked me a simple question. I gave you a simple answer.
You did. That's like me explaining it from the booking standpoint, as opposed to whether or not it makes sense on TV.
Right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to bring him back, it's your right. I hope he's good. But I just like how.
I hope for Jeff's sake.
Absolutely.
That he's clean this time and stays that way.
Hear, hear. It's just like, you know, you look at these situations and it's like, come on, a guy with a rap sheet is back in the company as soon as he says he's ready. And CM Punk can't come back because he got into something with you when you walked into his locker room.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I just want to make sure we're all clear on this.
Well, it sounds like somebody that doesn't go way back with this would probably say, well, that was too simple an explanation, but it was a simple explanation, but it's the only one I can think of.
You know, I just work here. I just watch what happens and give the occasional thought on it. That's it. You know what?
Moving on.
I do want to make sure I get to this because we teased it before. You talked about where Les would be happy to stretch you at some weekend training camp. I mean, if I'm already going to ruin your bookings, I might as well go all the way in. Bret Hart doing a lot of talking this week in an interview that we had a chance to see or read some excerpts from regarding his current thoughts on AEW and in general the state of wrestling today. And I know you had a chance to check those comments out, and they do sound an awful lot like things you would hear every week on this fine professional wrestling podcast, are they not?
They are, yes. And, you know, when I listen, he's basically saying the same thing that we say here. And, you know, the more I think about this is I think probably some of the younger guys think, well, Brett's a disgruntled veteran. Disgruntled for what? He realized how much money he made in a lifetime, how much the answer to his negative comments or to mine or to Kurt Angle's or to Brock Lesnar's or to the Undertaker's is not they're disgruntled veterans. They're jealous because they can't do a quadruple somersault. The answer is they must be hitting. They're all saying the same thing in a different way. Maybe there's some sense, some credence to what they're saying. Maybe they've actually been in this business and understand it. Nah, they couldn't possibly. How would that happen? But isn't that the way this seems to flow?
Well, it's the state of the world today. Somebody says something that you don't necessarily feel good about or straight up disagree with, and instead of analyzing what they're saying and trying to decipher whether or not there's any truth to it, the immediate thing is to be defensive about it and go on the attack and say, well, there must be something about them that they just don't understand why this is great. But when this many people have been saying the same thing, how many times are you going to say something's wrong with them?
Exactly. Yeah. There are guys who never made a big splash in the business from my era that say these things and people throw that out. But and then if it makes you feel good, you can say, I'm a disgruntled old guy who doesn't have a clue what the hell he's talking about. Whatever you want. You can't say that about Brett. There's just no freaking way. You know, he's been to the dance. He's been the head of the dance. He's been the lead dancer, for Christ's sake. His record, yeah. He believed in the business. He had a passion. He loved the business. And that was why he didn't want to drop the strap in Canada, because he realized how strong his image was there. That's not a flaw. That's good common sense. Right? So, you know, you can laugh at him or roll your eyes and say, well, he should know this is not real or something, but he knows that. But it's, you know, like, my friend Dave, it's real to me, damn it. It's still real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
My friend Dave that teared up over that. that I've met. He's really a nice kid. But I agree with him. You realize you can laugh at me. You can laugh at Bret Hart. You can laugh at, hell, I don't care, Jerry Briscoe, whoever. But it was real to us. We know what it really was, but we went out there to make it appear to be real. You should still be doing that. Again, I'm not going to go back and say, well, you watch dramatic movies, you watch dramatic television, you read dramatic books, and you expect those all to take you along in the story. You don't expect the same thing from a wrestling show. Why? They don't know why, but they're ready to accept anything they see, I guess. But they shouldn't be, you know. And yes, all these things that Brett mentioned, it's true. It's true. And again, let's jump back to WWE and the Bloodline storyline. That speaks for itself. You can say Brett or Roman had the belt too long. It's not, you know, or whatever. There's mistakes made every day. Human beings make mistakes, and human beings are what run the wrestling business. But they make less mistakes or fewer mistakes. Say it however you want, but they did something right, and what they did was basically the same foundation and essential basics that we did 50 or 60 years ago. I don't care if you like it. Don't care if you want it to be that way. Don't care if you think I'm a flake or a nut or whatever. It's a fact. If you're in the wrestling business, it works. It worked then. It will work today if it's done properly. End of story.
I can't think of a better way to wrap this conversation than that. End of story sounds good to me. Are we missing anything?
I guess we should say we won't be back until the 28th of the month.
Oh, that's true. Uh-huh. That's right. You are on holiday.
Well, I'm hoping it turns out to be a holiday. Right now, trying to get everything that I need to take in a bag that's light enough to get on an airplane is a major problem. But, yeah, I'm headed across to North Carolina. We're flying out of Charlotte the first of the week for Kingston, Jamaica, where my stepdaughter is getting married. And I've never been there, but I'm looking forward to it. Some sun. They tell me he's got a great gym, so I'll hit the gym in the mornings and get some good food and so forth. And then we'll fly back into the States probably on the 24th. I think it's the 24th. And so anyway, yeah, you and I will hook up again on the 28th of the month. And I'm really looking. I've never been to Jamaica. Looking forward to it. I've been to the Bahamas. I've been to Puerto Rico, so I've seen those tropical climates, and I'm looking forward to this one and having a good time.
Now, the Bahamas and Puerto Rico both had shows run there by Florida Championship Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. Did anyone, to the best of your knowledge, ever run Jamaica?
I don't, you know, I bet there's been matches there, but I don't recall ever hearing anybody talk about, hey, I got booked in Jamaica, but I'm sure they've had wrestling. Carlos Colon ran Trinidad and Barbados.
He did.
Because I did the English translation on his tapes for those English-speaking countries. And so Pacific or South, you know, South American countries, whatever you want to call them, they all seem to enjoy pro wrestling. So I would say there must have been something in Jamaica at some point in time.
Well, they were British territory for so long. What if they had World of Sport?
Yeah, yeah.
That's possible, I suppose. Someone who's listening to this podcast probably knows. Feel free to let us know in the thread on the message board at f4wonline.com. I mean, obviously, in the 80s and 90s, I'm sure WWE had a television presence there. But whether or not there was actually any shows ever run there, to the best of anyone's knowledge, with a... Well, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it would be a promoter or anybody would know, but, you know, if there was anything that was run there with any regularity, I'd be curious to know that.
Yeah, I would be too. And, you know, while we're off for a week or so, if you've got some questions you would like us to answer, some topics or subjects you'd like us to hit on, please fill us in. Because, listen, we got a lot of history to talk about. It's just, I'd like somebody, you know, point us in a direction that you would like us to go.
Yeah, sometimes it's just about sparking a particular thought that hasn't passed by our minds in any particular point in time for a while and get us started on a whole different thing.
And yes, we do have minds. Not necessarily fertile all the time, but we have them.
Listen, I don't know where I was when they were handing those out. I was clearly at the back of the line, but I digress. I do have enough faculties to know that if you haven't already gotten yourself a Mega Millions ticket, you probably should. Nearly $500 million for the drawing as we record this in less than 12 hours less. So just promise me one thing. You don't have to promise that you'll come back to the podcast if you win the lottery, because, you know, why should you? But just promise me that if you win, that you don't tell anybody until you get back from Jamaica. Because I promise, if you tell anybody when you get there what happened to you this past weekend, lobster dinners every night are going to be on you, and somehow the entire bill for the wedding will end up in your pocket.
Well, for $500 million, I could afford it, couldn't I?
That is besides the point. Keep your hands out of my pockets, pal.
But I will get out and buy a couple of those tickets before the day is over. That's for damn sure.
So we're going to wrap up this edition of Wrestling Weekly. Could be the last one for all of us as non-millionaires. You never know. He is the legend, Les Thatcher. My name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out every weekend to spend some of it here with us. And we will talk to you again next week.